the teaching ministry of Pastor Jay Eberle. Get ready to be empowered through the understanding of God's Word.
John chapter 4, Jesus was at the well of Canaan, and there was a lady there that came to get some water, and Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks speaks to thee, and you are asking to give the drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. I wanted you to notice Jesus' statement. He said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that's talking to you, he's speaking of himself. He called himself the gift of God to us. It's very interesting language, and that's where we get the term, the greatest gift. There is no gift like him. And so, but it goes on. And, you know, the woman held a bit of a conversation with him. I'll skip some of it. But you get down later in a few verses, it says, Jesus made this statement to her, whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. Talking about just that water out of that well there that day. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But, he said, the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. In other words, Jesus is this gift. And it's the gift that keeps on giving. It'll be a continuous flow of all that the things of God that we need and that God has for us. So I want to share just a little bit about that for a few minutes. If I were to say today I have a gift for you for Christmas, and I want you to choose between some of the options I'm going to present you. You can only pick one. And, of course, you want to pick the best one. You want to pick the greatest one. And so I say, all right, number one is your favorite thing ever. I mean, you know, whatever. If you're a little girl and it's a pony, okay, then that's what you get to have. If you're a grown man or maybe some ladies, you're just, a pony's not good enough for you. Maybe for you it's a Camaro, you know, ZL1 or something. I mean, the top of the line. I mean, I'm going to offer you the gift you want, and one of the choices, just one of the choices, is the you know, just a big box with your favorite thing in it. You know what I'm talking about. But then once I give you that, then it's over. You know, nothing else after that, and that's one of your choices. Somebody say, well, what can be better than my favorite thing? I'll take that one. Well, wait. We got to tell you what the other options are here. Gift number two, option number two. Is a gift machine. Yeah. I mean, it can make anything and do it over and over again, and it can make a Camaro ZL1, it can make a pony, it can make a, you know, doll baby for a little girl, it can make all kinds of stuff. Yeah, how many of you are thinking that might be a little bit better? And it's not just for Christmas. I mean, it'll work all year long, and it just, I mean, all day long it can spit out gifts and just make gifts. Somebody's like, I think I'll take door number two. So it can make your favorite thing. It can make, things on Christmas Day. It can make things after Christmas Day all the time. It's a gift that keeps on giving. That'd be better, wouldn't it? Anybody want that one? Are you sure? Are you sure? There's another option here, you know. I forgot to tell you something about that gift. Here's something about that gift. It doesn't know you. It doesn't know if you're a man or a woman, boy or a girl. It doesn't know if you like ponies or if you like doll babies or if you like a sewing machine. Or it just doesn't know. I mean, it's just spitting out anything, whether it's something you like or not. Why? Because it's a machine. So some of you decided that ain't it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, if you're a 15-year-old young boy here and it keeps spitting out doll babies, that's not the greatest gift. I mean, that's not it. We got to pick something else. Maybe we ought to see what the third option is. Would you like to see what the third option is? So the third option, this one isn't in a box. In fact, it won't fit. This one, it's unlimited. In fact, this one's a person. But it's not just any old Joe, you know. Excuse me if your name's Joe, no offense, you know, but this person knows you intimately. This person knows what you want, knows what you like, knows what you need. This person knows your dreams. In fact, they know what you need even before you ask. And they know things you need that you don't even know you need. This person is very rich. Loaded. Owns the planet. And very generous. Very generous. I mean, they'll pay all your bills for you. Yeah. They'll give you richly all things to enjoy. You might say, oh, no, no, no. But that's actually in the Bible. That is in the Bible. They know everything. So if you have a need that is beyond material, like you need guidance, direction, you need some smarts for this decision you're getting ready to make or something, they're the smartest person that ever lived. And this person, since it's a person and not a machine, you know, this person can give you things that a machine can't. Machines can give you, you know, produce material things, but this person can give you love, can give you encouragement, and can give you the things you need and you want in the material world. But they can also go beyond that. They can give you comfort. They can give you wisdom. You know, they can give you joy. They can cheer you up. In fact, this person's superhuman. They can actually heal sick bodies. They can be with you when you're afraid. This person is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. When you're lonely, this person can be a comfort to you. This person can be companionship. This person, he knows when you're hurting. He knows where it hurts. He knows why it hurts. And he knows how to fix what hurts. That'd be the greater gift than any of these other ones that I already mentioned. Yeah, absolutely. Because it's the gift that keeps on giving, but it's the gift that loves you and knows you and knows your unique needs. And this person does have a name. His name is Jesus. He's God's gift. That's what Jesus said there in John 4. He said, I'm the gift of God to you, talking about us as humanity. And so, but there's something different about this gift. This gift, since it's a person and a perfect gentleman, you know, won't force anything on you, and he's not a machine. This person won't just push off anything you don't want. They wait to be invited. Jesus waits to be invited. He waits to be received. He won't come into a person's life unless they invite him, and he won't bring any of his gifts that he can continually give to you over and over again without an invitation to do so. I want to read a verse in John's Gospel, chapter number 1. We're not going to go long here. I just want you to think about this gift. It says, "That of his fullness, of God's fullness, have we all received, and grace for grace. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Listen to this other translation. This is called the Amplified. "Of his fullness and abundance have we all received. All he has, all have a share, and we are all supplied with one grace after another. One spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, even favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift." He's talking about his son Jesus and his graciousness, how generous he is. He gives gift after gift, spiritual blessing after spiritual blessing, one grace after another. This is the grace that keeps on giving. And he's not just a machine. He knows you exactly. He can meet needs that no gift-making machine could ever give. Isn't that an interesting thought? And so, but he's not, like I said, a machine. He won't just keep spitting out things you don't want whenever you don't want it. And he won't violate your own free will. He's that good. He's that good that he won't make you receive him. He won't make you do anything. The Bible says in the book of Revelation chapter 3, verse number 20, Jesus is speaking. He said, "I stand at the door and I knock." He said, "If anyone opens the door, I'll come into him and sup with him and he with me." Why doesn't he just sovereignly push his way in? And because of all the things, the good things he has for us, why doesn't he just knock the door down with all his gifts? What's he waiting for? He's waiting for us to open the door of our heart. He's waiting for an invitation. Everything God gives must be received by man's faith. The Bible said, by grace we are saved through faith. And that not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. So we see there's a Godward side to everything, and then there's a man's side. We have a part to play in these things. When he sees our faith in him, his invitation to come into our lives. Our faith is the welcome mat, so to speak. It's the door that through which he comes into our life. And also through which all his blessings and all these gift after gifts that he has comes into our lives. We can choose to turn him away. We can, because he won't force himself on us. Even though he knows the consequences of doing that, even though he has so many things to help us out in life, the gifts that he gives, he waits to be received. Amen. He waits for them to be received. You've seen a child, maybe not one of your children, maybe one of your children, but maybe on video somewhere, maybe something funny on YouTube or something where a child, here's mommy and daddy giving the child the gift and they're tearing it open. They're all excited and they open the box and they see what it is and they get a frown on their face and they, mommy, that's not what I want. And they start crying and stomping the floor. And you ever seen that? Because they wanted something else. They didn't want that. They wanted something else. And so, you've seen that. And so they'll throw it down, start crying, stomping their feet or something. And some of it's funny, some of it's whatever. But but that's the way God is. If we don't want what he has, he doesn't force us to have it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's a gift of God. Ephesians 2:8 says, by grace we're saved through faith. That not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. Can't earn it. It's just something he gives us freely. But we have to receive it. Romans 6:23 talks about the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And so Romans 5:17 talks about us receiving the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. That's a big word. What's righteousness mean? Well, it just means being made right with God. Being nothing between us and God. No sin, nothing there anymore that keeps us out of all his blessings. And so there's other gifts he offers. He offers, like in Acts 2:38, Peter was preaching and he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is the gift that just keeps on giving. He's got so many things beyond just, a ticket to heaven, we might say, being saved, or, we use different terms. Here's a gift. He calls it the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Once we receive him as our Savior, he offers us this gift. The gift that he offers to the whole world is Jesus, and the gift that he offers to his children is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I mean, he's so prolific in the gifts that he offers that he said in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. Everything good and everything perfect. The sun coming up in the morning, that's a gift from him. There's just so many things. We have so many things to thank God for. And he said every one of those good things are from him. The reverse would be also true. The bad things aren't from him. Only the good things come from him. So he's offering you many gifts. Here's one he offers. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He offers us his presence. He offers us access to his wisdom, access to his help in the time of need, direction, strength, wisdom, anything. We can come into his presence. I mean, he's truly the gift that just keeps on giving. And he knows you personally. He knows what you need. There's something very interesting about him. We find in the Bible that he's a healer of our diseases. We find in the Bible that he bore our sicknesses and carried our pains. He said he'll supply all our material needs when he said Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. That's a reference to Old Testament verses, which mentions poverty. He said he'll supply all our need according to his riches in glory. That's in the Bible. And so all these things, what we're saying here today is there's more than just Jesus as Savior that God wants us to have, if I could say it that way. there's more he has for us than just getting saved by his grace. His grace is very, I don't know if this word makes sense to you, prolific. It's very, it just keeps on giving. And so that's what we're talking about. And he has things for every area of you and my life. The Bible calls the love he has for us an everlasting love. It wasn't just back there on the cross. It's today. It's for what you need today. It's ongoing. It's for eternity. And so he didn't just love me in Jesus' death. He ongoingly loves me. God loves toward us is present tense. It's ongoing. But the thing I want to say before we close down this part of the service today is because Jesus is God's greatest gift, and he's full of grace and generosity, and he keeps on giving. But Ephesians 2:8, we mentioned that. It says we receive these things by his graciousness, by his generosity, but through our faith. Hey, isn't that right? So everything God does is by grace through his faith. So if grace keeps on giving, I'm going to say something very important in a moment, so just pay attention. If grace keeps on giving, then faith must ongoingly continue to receive. Because he has so many more things he wants to do than just get us saved. That's, if there's anything you receive today, get that. But see, that's not the end of it. I mean, it's a package deal. If you work at a job, you might have a benefit package, you know. You not only get a salary, maybe you get health care, maybe you get other benefits, you know, maybe a car or something that you can drive for work or something. But that's the way God's salvation package is. When the word saved is used in the Bible, that word is translated heal, it's translated deliver, it's translated make whole, make sound. There's just a whole lot more to salvation than just receiving Jesus as Savior. He is Savior, but he's everything you need. And so if his grace is continuously giving and ongoing, then faith must be continual and ongoing, not something that we just express in him the day we receive Jesus, if I could say it that way. And really, what he wants from you, because he gave us his greatest gift, and he wants a gift from you and me. And I'll tell you why in a moment. It's really amazing why he wants it. He wants our faith, and he wants us to put our faith in him. And he considers our faith in him the greatest gift we could give him. Not only does he have a great gift for us, we have a great gift to give to him, because he wants to keep on giving, and he wants us to keep on receiving. What do I mean by that? Why does he want us to give him what he wants and loves and is so pleased about? It's told to us in Hebrews 11, verse number 6. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, what on earth does that mean? Why? Why is it not possible to please God without faith? Well, because his big, generous, giving heart wants to do so much for us, he gets his joy out of us receiving it. And that's why it pleases him when we exercise our faith in him or place our faith in him, not just once to be saved, but ongoingly for all these gracious, benevolent things he wants to do, but ongoingly learning about what he has for us and so forth. The reason that faith pleases him is because that enables him to do what he wants to do in our lives. Because like we said, he won't force his way in. He waits for an invitation, and our faith is his invitation. And so not only is it important that we know what pleases God, but why it pleases him. The reason is because he's not really happy unless we open the door to all his blessings. He's that good. He wants to do so many things for us. You could say it's really what he does for fun. He enjoys it. That's why he's pleased with faith. He gets a real rush out of it. He gets a real kick out of it. Just like you enjoy giving to your children or someone, he enjoys giving. That's just his nature. He can't help himself. He is love, the Bible says. And love, for God so loved that he gave. And so we read in Romans 1:17 that just shall not just get saved by faith, that they live by faith. God is offering you something today, and that is his ongoing blessings. The way into them is Jesus, the gift that keeps on giving. Yeah. In other words, accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. But he's not just offering you Jesus. He's offering you the gift that knows you personally, knows everything you need, everything you want, comfort. You need security. You need encouragement, whatever. He knows who you are. He knows your intimate desires of your heart. And he wants to meet all of those needs, and he wants to do it ongoingly. Therefore, he wants you to commit today not to just receive him, but to a lifestyle of trusting him. That rings so big in me today. God's putting that on my heart to share with you because he's offering you something much bigger than you can receive in one day. And that is all his generous blessings. But he's also inviting you into the kind of lifestyle that can receive those things ongoingly. What kind of lifestyle is that? It's not a one-time prayer thing that you might do today and placing your faith in him as Savior alone. It is a commitment to walk with him ongoingly, to let him show you all that he wants to do for you, to learn about all he wants to do for you in his Bible, and to live a lifestyle that enables him to keep on blessing you. Wow. Isn't that amazing? He'll actually get you started in this when you receive him. He'll give you, according to the Bible, the measure of faith. And that just simply means he gets you started in this. And so whenever he gives you that measure of faith, that's what he gives you to begin to learn to know him, to receive from him, and to receive his blessings. And really, he wants you to know his Bible because that faith needs to be fed. That faith can grow. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, your faith can grow exceedingly. In other words, you can receive more from him and bigger things from him. When I first started walking with God, I couldn't have bought one bike for myself to ride because I didn't know how to receive blessings from God. But today, I'm greatly blessed, experiencing many wonderful, really radical blessings from God, but also leading a ministry that can buy bikes for over 100 kids. And so God will take the faith that he gives you. But see, what happened to me is I decided I'm going to start living this life of faith, not just a one-time thing that I check the box and now I've got a ticket to heaven, but I'm going to learn his Bible. I'm going to feed this faith, and I'm going to receive what God has for me, and I'm going to let God. And here's what he ended up doing. He ended up turning me around to be a blessing to other people. And he'll do the same thing for you. He's making that offer to you today to do more than just come and receive his son Jesus, but to say, I'm going to live this life of faith. You might say it, when I say that, you might say, I don't even know what he's talking about. Well, what he's offering you is to get to know his word, how to do that. He's offering you to learn, first of all, that he's even given you the measure of faith, and then how to make that work, how to make that faith work. How to trust him in times of need. How to feed that so it can grow. And how to use it on purpose. Because there's many tests and trials that come against us in life. And the Bible says this faith is the victory that overcomes all those things. So he's offering you, really what this is, and I'm encouraged about this today. What this really is, this is where a local church comes in. God has a plan for you that goes beyond just accepting Jesus and then going back into the lifestyle you lived of whatever that is, being bound by sin, being bound by, the lust of the flesh, or being, you know, bound by selfishness or something like that. But actually going to a place where that faith can grow and you can learn about that faith. There are people here, I'm sure, that have good churches all over, maybe Eastern Iowa, or at least here, Cedar Rapids, or wherever. And by saying what I just said, I'm not inviting you to come from your church to this church because you need to be faithful to your church. But I'm talking about people today that receive Jesus, or maybe they have received Jesus, but they've not decided to walk this lifestyle of faith. I'm inviting you just shamelessly. Just inviting you to come into a lifestyle of faith. Somebody said, is God wanting me to come into a lifestyle of cleaning up my life and making sure I do everything perfect? Well, not really. Because I tried that and I can't. I don't know about you, but I can't. All he's asking you to do is trust him. Trust him. Learn to trust him and learn to live that way. And he'll do the doing. You know what I mean by that? In other words, he'll bring you into the place where you can do what you haven't been able to do before. And so that's what I had to share with you today. You know, it's important. Let's say, you know, really God gives us this faith as a tool we can use to win victories, to overcome the world. The Bible gives us many things that faith will do, trusting him will do. It really taps into his power. But let me illustrate this before we close here and say this, that it's as if, let me ask you, maybe you have a car and the transmission breaks and you don't know how to fix a transmission. But let's say I do, this is completely hypothetical because I don't, but but let's say I do know how to fix a transmission. Well, you don't know how, you don't have the tools, you don't even know where to start, but I do, I have the tools, I have the parts, I have everything. So you invite me, can you come fix it? I say, sure. And I said, but here's the thing, I don't want to just fix your transmission for you. I want you to stand here and watch how to do this. I want to show you what tools to use. I want to show you what my tools will do. I want to show you which part is broken. I want to show you where it belongs, how to fix it, where to put it in, all those things. And I want to just, here's my tools. I want to stand beside you and really let you, and I'll say, get that tool and put that on that bolt, do this, do that. And you can do it, but I'll walk you through it. I'll show you how to do it. I'll give you my tools to use, so forth and so on. Well, you didn't know how to fix a transmission and you couldn't, but guess what? Now you can fix a transmission. Isn't that right? And that's sort of what God is offering to you today. He wants to not only show you his tools that will fix things in life, faith is that tool, but he wants to show you how to do it so that you can win victories over the flesh, you know, over strife in your home and all the things that the enemy tries to bring into our life. So he's offering you that knowledge of how to walk with him every day and overcome all those things. So that's really his greatest gift, isn't it? Isn't that interesting? That you cannot just get saved one day, maybe today, but decide, I'm going to live this way. This is a way of living for me. I'm going to trust him in every area of my life. It's going to be an ongoing thing. He's offering me a lifestyle. So I'm offering that. God's offering that to you today. This event is really designed to introduce you to Jesus, the greatest gift, but also to everything that he keeps on wanting to give. But also this event is designed to introduce you to a lifestyle that is ongoingly, if I could say that word, hope that's the right word, but continuously trusting him in every area and growing in faith, trusting him. And that really simply means growing in his word. The Bible shows us that the local church, such as a place like this, or maybe you have a local church, a place like this is the place we come together really to learn God's Bible and to feed our faith. You know, faith can grow just like a child has to eat to grow. We got to eat to keep living if we're adults. This faith that we get when we receive Jesus can grow also. And it can enable us to win more victories. It can enable us to, where so many people are defeated, it can cause us to overcome those things. But that where that is found is in finding a place, a local church, whether the one you have or if you don't have one, some like this, that you can grow with other people and learn how to walk by faith. I'll tell you this, you don't learn it at the movie theater. I'm not, you know, preaching against movie theaters. I'm just saying that's not where you can learn it. You won't learn it at the mall. You won't learn it at the university. A lot of those places actually are trying to steal your faith from you by putting things in you to try to get you to turn away from God and all his blessings. And so, did I make any sense today? God's plan for you on this earth, the Bible says in the Bible, is days of heaven on earth. Wow. And it actually says, Jesus in the Lord's Prayer said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. You know, I don't know about you, but not everything that I'm experiencing on this life, in this earth right now, is the way as it is in heaven. So I'm going to keep developing and growing in faith. And you and I can do that. Isn't that right? The Bible calls Jesus the author and the finisher of our faith. It calls him the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega. In other words, those are all words that means he wants to get you started walking this walk, and he'll take you across the finish line to get you to the place where every one of your needs are always met and God's supplying everything you need, and you're winning victories. Would you bow your head with me today? Close your eyes. Just being reverent in the presence of God, because people are making decisions that are important in this time right now. I want to ask you today, have you ever really even accepted Jesus, this gift that keeps on giving? Have you ever really placed your faith in him? Not really talking about going to church. I'm really not talking about promising God you're going to live a perfect life or anything. I'm talking about the price he paid for you on the cross when he took you and my sin on himself and became you and my substitute, because we had all sinned. You and I both know we've all sinned. And the Bible says the penalty for that is death. That part of that means eternal separation from God, not experiencing the blessings of God. That's the penalty. But he said the gift of God is eternal life. If you've never come to him and said, I receive that gift of Jesus, that gift that gives me everything I need, eternal life, salvation. We read about righteousness. We read about all these things. I want to place my faith in him this morning. Then if that's you, I want to pray with you. If you're a child and you understand what I'm talking about, I want to pray with you. If you're an adult, male, female, whoever, grandma, doesn't matter how old, how young you are, then I want to pray with you. But I want to know who I'm praying for. If you would, my head's bowed, please, just raise your hand up. This is not between you and me. It's between you and God. But if that's you, you want to pray that prayer, hold your hand up. I see hands. Oh, my, there's 5 or 6, 7, 8 right there. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 there in that center section. Here's one over here. One, okay, in the back. Thank you. Anyone else? By raising your hand, you're just saying, yes, I want Jesus in my life. Who in their right mind would turn a person away like Jesus? All of us need somebody in our life to help us in these things. And so I'm going to pray just in a moment. But I've seen a few hands. Is there anyone else? You say, before you pray, I want to be included. Thank you. I see a one in the back. I see another one in the back. Thank you. I see some more over on this side. Children, praise the Lord. The Bible says, thank you. I see one over here. The Bible says, allow the little children to come to me. And so if they understand, we want to include them in this prayer. And so I'm seeing hands all over the auditorium. I want to pray a prayer with those of you that raised your hand, but I think it would be good if all of us would just pray this prayer with them and join our faith with them. Would that be all right? So even if you've prayed this prayer before, let's just pray it out loud together. So repeat this after me, especially if you raised your hand. And continue to keep your head bowed, if you would, and talk, say this to God. Don't just say it out loud. Just say it out of your heart out loud. Say, dear Father God, I come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. I read in your Bible today that Jesus is the gift you're offering me for my salvation, to live eternally with you in heaven, but also he's the gift that keeps on giving. I receive you right now, Jesus, as my substitute. You paid a great price on the cross for my sin. And I've come today to place my faith in you. Not in my good works, but in the work you did for me. Jesus, I open the door to you. Come into my heart. Be my Savior and Lord. I confess you now with my mouth as Savior and Lord of my life. I place my faith in you and I trust you right now. But not only that, I commit to a lifestyle of trusting you in every area, ongoingly, so that these things you have for my life might come into my life and manifest in a great big way. Thank you, Jesus. My life now belongs to you. I am yours. You are mine. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Oh, what a sound. What a sound to hear that prayer being prayed. That's how easy it is. Amen. That's how easy it is. That's how easy it is. Now the gift that just he's going to... I don't know if you ever heard the word prolific. I'm not a really educated guy, but I heard that word a while back, prolific. That just means it keeps on going and keeps on going. Jesus is the gift that's prolific, you know, just keeps on going and going. He has so many things for you.
If you would like more information about Pastor Jay Everly's ministry, please visit us on the web at soffc.org. Or call us at 319-366-2147. Or you can write to us at Spirit of Faith Family Church, Post Office Box 8355, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52408. And remember, God loves you, and you're equipped to live victoriously in every area of life.